Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on another beautiful Sunday morning. I tell you what, the sun is shining. It's supposed to get up in the mid-50s today. We've had a little bit of rain in our area. Could have used a little bit more, but we're thankful for what we received. But I hope today that as you travel down the highway that you're being safe. Watch out as different roadway conditions are, for the most part, I think pretty good out there, but still there's some things that out there that can happen, so just be watchful. And like always, living in the state of Iowa and you're traveling down the highway, watch out for deer, because especially if you're early of a morning or at the end of your day, those animals are on the move and can really create a lot of damage for your vehicle. So be safe out there as you're traveling. And also do thank you for listening, being a part of Vital this morning, as we have just an incredible teaching that we're going to continue to do this morning on the teaching of Jesus, the suffering servant. And also, too, those of you who are headed on your way to church this morning, I pray that as you travel down the highway and you're headed to your church, what a great time to go to be with church with your other brothers and sisters in Christ. What a great time to come and worship and thank God for who He is. And I encourage you to engage in church this morning, not just to be there, take a seat, but participate in it, just be involved. Encourage your pastor. You know, those amens and those different gestures really mean a lot to a pastor when he's speaking. It means that people are listening, and also too, it kind of revs him up a little bit too as well. So I just encourage you to do that. And also too, those of you who are maybe at home, you're in your shop, or you're out about doing whatever you might be doing today, and this is your time that you take away and you listen, and this is your morning worship. I just want to thank you for being a part of. Again, for listening today on KBOE 104.9 and just being with us this morning. So just be blessed and be encouraged. I believe this teaching this morning will be a phenomenal one. But before we get going this morning, just a few things to get, just a reminder. We send out devotionals 5 days a week for Vital Men and also too for Vital Life. If you want to go to the vitalministries.org website, you can check that out, get those devotionals sent to you. Also too, we give a precursor every week during the week of a video. I go out and make a video and give a glimpse about what I'm going to teach, not only on the radio, but also too, what I'm going to speak. I'm the pastor at the Lighthouse Church here in New Sharon, Iowa. And it just gives you a little bit of a glimpse of what is going on in the midst of things that are happening, so you don't want to miss out on that as well. And also too, we're excited this year. We have a Good Friday service here in New Sharon at the Lighthouse Church. We're going to be at from 6:30 to 7:30. It's going to be a time of reflection about what Jesus Christ did on the cross, on the crucifixion. Also too, looking into the 4 stripes that He took for us. It's just going to be a very in-depth teaching. I believe something that's going to be just to help us to recognize and to remember the great sacrifice of the Lamb of God who was slain for us, for our sins, who took on a cross so that we would not have to, and took on our sin so we might have relationship with God the Father Himself. And so it's just going to be a great Good Friday service. That's going to be on March 29th. Easter is March 31st, which comes early this year. Normally it's in Easter. Easter is in April, but it is in March this year. We have moved ahead a little bit because of that, so you don't want to miss out on that service on both Good Friday and also to our 10 a.m. Easter service. And also too, we are going to have an Easter egg extravaganza in New Sharon at the New Sharon High School from 9 to 11 o'clock. We're going to have an Easter egg hunt. We're going to have coffees and donuts and cookies and face painting and just a great time of celebration. The Easter Bunny is going to be there. We're just going to have a great time in fellowship and loving on our community and doing the gospel message. We're going to have special Christian music there. Curtis is going to be bringing that with us as well. We're just going to have a great morning. So you don't want to miss out. The bouncy houses will be there for the kids to play on. It's just going to be a great time. You don't want to miss that. And that's, again, that is on March 30th at the New Sharon High School in here at North Mahaska. So you don't want to miss that. And that goes from 9 to 11 a.m. in the morning. Some great encouraging stuff. But let's get started this morning as we talk about the suffering servant heals a blind beggar. Now, Jesus is traveling. He is now headed south. He is now moving into the community, a city of Jericho. Now, Jericho is not the same city that Joshua destroyed. It's about a mile apart from each other. And the interesting thing is this, that Jericho is actually 1,200 feet below sea level. Now, that's significant because Jerusalem is at 2,500 feet above sea level. So if you start doing the math there, we're looking at about 3,300 feet climb, which is a definite descent, about a 17-mile trek uphill all the way. Now, I've done that before on a bus, not walked it, but did it on a bus. And I tell you what, those buses are climbing when you go from that descent from 1,200 feet below sea level to that 2,500 feet above sea level, that climb. So it was a climb for Jesus. But we find in this story a moment in which Jesus stops, a moment in which Jesus takes time for, again, a miracle. Matter of fact, we're going to be looking in the book of Mark. If you got your Bibles, we're going to open up to Mark chapter 10. But in Mark chapter 10, what's significant about this is only in the Gospels, we read about the story in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but only in the book of Mark is the blind man's name is named. We see in Matthew, it calls out the two blind beggars. In Luke, it calls out the blind beggar, but for some reason in the book of Mark, they name the man, which is Bartimaeus. Now, here's some important things as we look at Bartimaeus in the midst of his life. Jericho is a good city. It's part of the Roman road. Matter of fact, when you travel to Israel, you can actually see a portion of the Roman road, which existed over 2,000 years ago, is still there and can still be seen. Now, that's significant because it also is part of history, knowing of that actual things happened. Jericho was also a place in which King Herod would go in winter, in the wintertime. He would go there because it was arid, it was cooler, it was a place to just for him to go and get away from the heat and some of those other things. So that's what King Herod would do. But anyway, let's jump in this morning as we look at the suffering servant heals a blind beggar. Now this morning, again, we're going to look at the book of Mark, starting with Mark chapter 10, starting with verse 45. And then it says this: "Then they reached Jericho, and Jesus and the disciples left a town large, and large crowds continued to follow them. The blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road when Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby. He began to shout, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' The people said, 'Be quiet.' Many of the people yelled at him, but he shouted louder, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, 'Tell him to come here.' So they called the blind man. 'Cheer up,' they said. 'Come on, he's calling you.' Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus." Now Jesus says this: "What do you want me to do for you?" He says, "My rabbi," the blind man, "I want to see." And Jesus said, "Go, for your faith has healed you." And instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. Now, my point number one as we look at this morning is this: is Bartimaeus knew who Jesus was. Now, that's significant because this is really key, because he did know exactly what was going on here. See, the story of Bartimaeus comes from the Gospel of Mark and concerns of the healing of the blind man named Bartimaeus. See, there's a parallel account that we see between the two men, which we find in Matthew chapter 20, verse 30. But Mark, the book of Mark, focuses on the one who was no doubt familiar to his readers. On his way out Jericho, Jesus was surrounded by a huge crowd and went from the roadside, and Bartimaeus called out to him to being healed. The events that follow tell us something profound about God's nature and sheds light on the type of faith and prayer that are pleasing to God. Now, when you think about this for a second, Bartimaeus knew who Jesus was, and this is what we find out. He says this: "As Jesus was walking by, Bartimaeus heard who it was that he was passing, and he says this: 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me,'" which is in verse 47. By calling Jesus the Son of David, the blind man was affirming his belief that Jesus was the Messiah, which we can find from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 14 through 16. See, the people told Bartimaeus to be quiet, but he kept calling out even more loudly and loudly than before. And this was further proof of his faith in addition to the proclamation of Jesus' identity as the Messiah. The blind man showed that he believed in Jesus' goodness and the difference to the poor and to the needy. Now, Bartimaeus believed that Jesus was not like the other religious leaders who believed that an individual's poverty or blindness or bad circumstances were as a result of God's judgment. Bartimaeus appealed to Jesus according to the revelation of God's character in Psalms, God who cares for the poor and the brokenhearted, which we read from Psalms 34, verse 6. Now, Bartimaeus knew who Jesus was. He calls him out the Messiah. And I think this is significant because if we're really going to go to God and we're really going to ask God for something, we got to know who Jesus is and the power that is carried by him as being the Son of God. And when we pray to Jesus. Matter of fact, God the Father said the only way to him was through his Son, Jesus. Now, maybe today you got a situation in your life and you're really calling out to God and you need some help in your life. You got a situation that's going on. You got some, maybe there's some illness, some sickness, something going on. See, a lot of times people will say this, and I've heard this in religious circles, that a lot of times people will account the things that are going on in the midst of their life is because they have done something bad. So God has done this to them because of what they have done wrong. Now, I think there's important to have some clarity here. The clarity is this. When we do bad things of choices that we make, do consequences and circumstances play out? Yes, they do, without a doubt. They play out. You spend money wrong, it plays out. You go out and you do some sort of addictions, the consequences will play out. But here's a situation where this man was blind. And what we know from, as near as we can tell, he was blind from birth. Now, was it because he had done something wrong or his parents had done something wrong? How can a newborn baby do something wrong? I think of parents who have children that have Down syndrome. Did they do something wrong? No. That is part of the brokenness, I believe, in the world in which you live. And because of that brokenness, broken things happen in the midst of our lives. It isn't anything that we have done wrong. It's that the situation comes out to be that is just, I believe, in my opinion, from what I have learned in my faith, that God is with us in the midst of those circumstances. Remember, Paul claimed he had a thorn in the flesh. He had something that was going on in his life, and he asked the Lord three times to take it away. And God didn't. God didn't take it away. God said, "His faith is sufficient to go through what he was going through." So God did not heal whatever the thing was in Paul's life. And so Paul went on with whatever that situation was and continued living out his life and praising God in the midst of it. And I think that's so important in the as we go through in life is choosing to praise God in the midst of our circumstances. And that means the situations that we deal with, this sometimes the very, you know, the injuries, the situations of our life physically, those things, do we embrace those things or do we sit there and get angry against God because of them? You know, I have found in my own life as I get older, I have found that things wear out. Things are breaking down. Things are not like they used to. I cannot run like I once did. I cannot ride a bike like I used to ride a bike, all because of God, because of having my knees replaced. Now, I can sit there and say, woe is me, and live a life of negativity and feeling sorry for myself, or can I do the best with what I have? And so what I've been doing with that, folks, is it's important is, you know, doing the exercise. I've been going to Kinetic Edge here in Oskaloosa, and I got to give them an A+. Those guys really do their job really, really well down there in Oskaloosa. I can't say enough about how their therapy and is done, but it's really helped me. And also too, My therapist, the person who helps me, she does a wonderful job, and she's always encouraging me and pushing me and helping me to realize if I really want to get better, I have to go through the pain. And that's sometimes how it is sometimes, isn't it, in the midst of lives? We have to go through the pain. But what we do in the midst of that is know who Jesus is in our lives, that our eyes are always on him, that he is our focus. Which brings me to point number two, Bartimaeus knew what to ask for. See, as Jesus responded to Bartimaeus, he cries out by telling his disciples to call the blind man over. Blind Bartimaeus, he jumps up and went to Jesus, and Jesus asks him, "What is it that you want from me?" The beggar could have asked for money or for food, but his faith was bigger than that. Bartimaeus said, "Rabbi, I want to see." There is no pretension or religious pride in this interchange between God and man. The blind man had a desire, and he ran to Jesus with the desire, and he did not preface it, his petition, with a list of good works that he had done or with any false humility. He simply expressed to Jesus his desire, trusting that Jesus was both willing and able to fulfill it. Jesus said, "Go, your faith has healed you," and blind Bartimaeus instantly recovered his sight and followed Jesus. Now, what's important for this is Bartimaeus knew specifically what to ask for. You know, a lot of times in the midst of our lives, as we sit there and look at different things that go on, we don't actually know. We want God to be kind of a favor type guy and ask for whatever it is and that he should know, instead of being specific of what we're praying and asking for. And I think that's essential in the midst of our prayer life. What is it exactly are you praying for? And what is it exactly you're asking God for? You know what? We serve a big God. And there's no reason why we can't ask God for not only big things in our lives, but sometimes simply the smallest things in our lives. That he is good and he is faithful and he is willing to, he loves his people. He loves his creation. We're the only part of creation that God ever created in the image of him. None of other creation was, but only us. And because of that, he loved us so much that he sent his son to die on a cross for us. Again, the suffering servant comes to die. Only a God who loves us in such a way would do such an incredible thing, an act of love, because he loves his people so much. You know, I think of a lot of times when we ask for God for things, it's important for us to petition and ask God. Sometimes, you know, God answers, sometimes God doesn't, and sometimes God waits. There's usually three ways that it works. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't, and sometimes it's simply wait. And I believe with all that's within me that God is in the midst of all three of those things in our lives as we go about our lives and trusting him and all those things. Can we trust him with the very details of our lives? Can we trust him to know what we're truly asking for? What is it that you're asking? I want you to ask the question today within your own heart. What is it that you need from Jesus today? Is it something that you're dealing with in your life that's overwhelming in the midst of your life? Is it something that God, you know, I this past weekend, I had an opportunity to do a funeral for a woman who had lost a child. And, you know, a lot of things were, you know, in the midst of her life, I can only imagine how difficult that would have been and not only that, it was her firstborn child. And any woman out there that's listening to me this morning that has lost a child understands the pain that I'm describing today. But I've seen people who have lost children. Yeah, would they give anything to bring that child back? And including their life, yeah, I would agree with all of that. But it's in those moments of extreme heartache that we hold on to Jesus even more, even tighter. Jesus is worthy of the big ask, why? Who doesn't ask the question why in a situation like, why would you take my son? Why would you take my daughter? Why would you take my grandchild? All those different things. Asking why, but it's in the midst of our faith that we keep our eyes on us. You know, the great evangelist, Greg Laurie, he lost a son. And he has stayed the course. He has not wavered in anything. He's still evangelistic because he knows that someday that he will see his son again. And I believe that for this woman as she lost her firstborn son. That the day upon her death, the entering into heaven, I believe without a doubt, not only was Jesus there, but Jesus had her son there waiting as well. Because he was with her, a newborn baby that didn't make it, that died in infancy somehow. I don't know all the situation there. But I believe with all that's within me that God is big enough in all those areas of our lives and is with us in the deepest and the hardest pain. And that's where Bartimaeus was. He could have asked for, you know what? He was probably hungry. He was probably dirty. Probably had clothes on that he'd been wearing for who knows how long. And even the people around him were telling him to be quiet, but he wouldn't. He knew what he wanted. He wanted to see. And when Jesus said, in my mind, he may have been physically blind, but man, he was spiritually on 20/20. And the people and the scribes and the religious leaders around him, they were the ones that were blind. Not Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus could truly see because he knew what to ask Jesus for. And Jesus took the time. Matter of fact, in the book of Mark, that is the last recorded miracle in Mark that Mark records that Jesus did. That's something significant. Something that he took the time. And here's my third point this morning, is Bartimaeus was healed because of his faith. Now, Jesus says this, by your faith has made you well. Jesus emphasizes the necessity of faith. Blind Bartimaeus had the kind of faith that pleases God, a wholehearted trust in the healer. Jesus showed once again that God rewards those who earnestly seek him. That comes from Hebrews 11:6. Blind Bartimaeus understood this faith, and he earnestly sought the Lord and his actions and reflected the kind of faith that pleasing God, that pleased God. Trust in God, folks. Man, what a great time in the midst of our faith that we can be healed in the midst of things that are going on because of our faith. That God can heal the wounds of your life. God can heal the things that are going on even in the midst of whatever it might be. That God can heal us spiritually. God can heal us also physically. God is a God that loves his people. But we just got to have faith and keep trusting. I've met many people before who have had cancer, and some as many as stage 4. And I know people who have been healed from that, and I know people who have died from it. But this is what I believe. I believe that Jesus healed one way or the other. Maybe not necessarily in this life, but yet the life to come. Someday, folks, when Jesus comes, when we die, and we're put in the grave unless he returns, our spirit immediately goes with him in heaven. But our bodies go into the ground, and dust to dust, ashes to ashes, back to the earth from where we came is where we go. But when Jesus comes back and the return, those in Christ, it says the Bible will open up the graves. Open up the places of the sea. Open up the places in the desert where people have been died and perished. Those people in Christ will rise again. Their bodies will come in unity with their spirit. And like Jesus had a new resurrected body, we will have the same. That is a glorious day, folks. And it keeps us encouraged in the midst of the things in this life in which we struggle, in the place in this life in which we trust God in all things. See, the suffering servant comes to heal. He comes to heal the brokenness of our lives. The brokenness in which God has called us out. The brokenness in which God needs us. I pray, folks, that today that you will be encouraged by the suffering servant who comes to heal. Will you pray with me this morning? Dear Jesus, again, I just want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you for the opportunity to which we can praise you, to love on you for who that you are truly a great God. We love you, Jesus, that you are the suffering servant, that you came to die for our sins and was resurrected from the dead 3 days later, and now you sit at the right hand of the Father. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for all that you've done, and that you are still a God who is mighty to save and a God who is mighty to heal. We love you, Jesus, and we praise you for who that you are today. In your precious holy name, amen. Folks, this is a great teaching series about the suffering servant. You're not going to want to miss next week on what God has got for us. So remember, the suffering servant is mighty to heal. And most of all, he's mighty to save. Folks, this is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.